While we get started, if everybody could take their seats. Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the April 10th meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee. Before you is an agenda as presented by staff. Are there any questions about today's agenda? If not, we'll move forward with the agenda as presented. Next up, we have the minutes of both the March 13th and March 27th Finance and Administration Committee meetings. I suggest maybe we take this as a block. Are there any questions about the minutes? If not, entertain a motion to approve. We have a motion to move and second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes passed. There are two items on our agenda today. We have an action item before us related to a request from the District of Columbia, and then we'll be updated on our sustainability program. But first, I'll turn it over to Assistant General Manager Jack Requa, who will present a request to amend the FY15 reimbursable operating budget for the new DC circulator contract. Mr. Requa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last month, the committee and the board took two actions. One, to approve modifying, amending the capital budget so that we could buy additional buses for the DC circulator to run mall service, and also approve the operating budget for FY15. During that process, the district had asked us to come back and reissue a request for proposals for the operation of the circulator for the next 2 years with 3 one-year options beyond that. That requires an adjustment to the operating reimbursable budget, and our request today is for amend the FY15 reimbursable budget by about $3 million, raising it to $22 million to allow for the dollars to be in the budget for the operating expenses in FY15 for the DC circulator. With your approval and the board approval, then we would issue the RFP and have it in place for the start of service for March of 2015.
Thank you, Mr. Requa. Are there any questions from staff?
Would you like a motion, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd move that we approve the manager's request.
Second.
It's a matter of moved and seconded. Any other questions? Okay. Are there any questions?
I just think that we're not going to be serving a shopping mall, which is the mall down by the Smithsonian.
The National Mall.
The National Mall.
From Pentagon City.
Essentially, it's a replacement for the tour mobile service.
Yeah. Are there any other questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It's approved. Next, thank you, Mr. Requa. Next up, we'll hear from Managing Director of Planning, Sham Kanan, and the Sustainability Manager, Rachel Healy, about Metro Sustainability Initiatives. Several major steps have been taken to move sustainability forward at Metro, and the committee will now receive an update on that progress.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the board, for having us. Our purpose again today is to provide the board an update on Metro's ongoing efforts to set the bar in terms of sustainability. And as we get started, it's important to remember that every day Metro is, by its nature, a regional leader in sustainability. Every year we're taking 400,000 tons of carbon out of the atmosphere. We're taking 22 tons of particulates out. We're minimizing stormwater runoff. We're saving the region from consuming 41 million gallons of fuel. And when we were last here in 2012, we presented to you some of that information. And since then, we've made some great strides at Metro. As we complete the rebuilding program and we lay down new rail, 100% of that rail is recycled steel. We have since constructed two LEED facilities. Now, LEED, as we know, the Green Building Standard for Environmental Excellence, results in buildings that consume 25% less energy and have a 36% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. Both Shepherd Parkway and the Glenmont Garage are LEED certified, and we're aspiring again to receive that recognition for Cinderbed Road. The fleet is greener. We're at the point in time where we reported back to you last, about 44% of our bus fleet was either hybrid or clean diesel. That number is up to 53%, and the fuel economy on the bus fleet is up 30% over the last 8 years. And we've seen the results of some hard work and new ways to do business at Metro, new ways to green the authority. We were very pleased this year to announce the award of a garage lighting contract, which will replace 13,500 light bulbs in our existing garages with environmentally sustainable and high-efficiency LED light bulbs that will save the authority $1.5 million per year. That effort is being paid for through a performance-based contract in which the contractor is providing the upfront monies to perform the capital reinvestment and paying us and paying for that out of the cost savings. So not only finding ways to green the authority, but do so in innovative ways that allow us to move forward. And that's really just the beginning. If we stay on this slide for a moment, we're here before the Finance Administration Committee because there's a very important connection between going green and saving green. Investments in sustainability are one of the key ways that we can at Metro promote cost savings and responsible stewardship of the region's dollars. For example, in FY14, our approximate budget for water and energy across all uses is about $126 million. If we were to implement plans that could execute a 1% reduction in that overall water and energy bill, well, the simple math says that that would save the authority about $12 million over the next 10 years. If we execute a slightly more aggressive target of 5%, that gets us to closer to $63 million in savings over the next 10 years. And if we were to focus specifically at energy and to reduce our consumption across all fuel sources by 15%, by 2025, that would put us in a position to save the authority about $20 million per year. And so the reason that we believe that these sustainability investments are so critically important is not only for the impact they have upon the region's livability, but also our fiscal stewardship. If we go to the next slide, please. We're here today because we've ramped up, since we've last been here, our efforts to systematize our approach to sustainability and prepare the agency to achieve these type of savings. In effect, to continue the evolution from a series of very laudable projects and ones in which we're demonstrating excellence already to a comprehensive approach to sustainability that's not only good for the region and planet, but also organized around a series of multiple bottom-line benefits. And at this point in time, we'd like you to conceptualize this comprehensive sustainability agenda to be built around four key pillars. The first, of course, are things that we can do today, things that we in Metro have proposed and the leadership team has agreed to be able to do that greens the way we do our business immediately. And so we'll talk to you about those business plan commitments right now. There's also a need to, and we've done this, to establish and document the sustainability practices that we have in place today. Some of the statistics that I was able to share with you today were the results of some heavy lifting that our sustainability coordinators has been engaged in, along with support from throughout the leadership team to document and understand where we are today so we know where we can go in the future. So that if we go to the previous slide, I'd appreciate that. To establish some performance targets, both for the authority internally as well as in terms of our regional sustainability impact. And again, we've been working very hard with the leadership team to establish these performance targets. And finally, the fourth element that we want you to leave here understanding today is the fact that we've established a sustainability lab in which we can pilot new technologies and new ideas, make sure they work, demonstrate the return on investment before recommending them if they do demonstrate actual ROIs that are positive for agency wide rollout. So with that as an overview, I'm going to turn the mic over to our Sustainability Project Coordinator, Rachel Healy, who will be able to give you additional details about each one of these elements.
Thank you, Sean, and thank you all for the opportunity to talk to you about this project in a little bit more detail, though Sean did a great job of outlining the framework. So one of the first things we did was to have some significant conversations with the executive leadership team and with departmental staff to identify a series of commitments that were easy to achieve, that had savings, and that we could implement in the first year. And those included They ranged from committing to moving to paperless meetings, to adopting an Energy Star commitment for our purchases for office equipment, and even to things like a heater policy, which for 100 folks over a year, that's $19,000 worth of savings, just to shift a small policy like that. Next. The next thing we did, as Sham said, was to do some research across the agency and see what kind of sustainability projects we already had on the books. And we had them on the books in a lot of different locations. It's really spread across the agencies, and you find that we're already making significant strides in this area, but we aren't necessarily communicating that out to the public. So take those, create case studies, really get that package together and get it out there for the world to see. Next, we have the set of sustainability performance targets, again, developed with significant work with the departments. They are both aggressive and achievable, and they're very tailored to the industry and what we can achieve and pushing where we can push. They include a set of regional targets, which include maximizing ridership, connecting communities, and a commitment to 10% increase in our greenhouse gas displacement. That's the service. This is focusing on the service we provide to the region and the sustainability impacts of that service. Next. The second set of targets are more internally facing. They're things we have much more direct control over. At Metro, we're committed to reducing our energy use by 15% by 2025 per vehicle mile, a 50% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions per vehicle mile by 2025, and that includes a shift to renewable energy sourcing for 30% of our electricity. And we also have reductions in water and waste. Next slide. And as Sham finished up with, we have a sustainability lab that we've established. And that really does allow change to happen. Not everyone's, you know, great at change. We want to facilitate making those steps, making those decisions in a measured and very in a way to call out to the departments to find the projects that really have the most positive ROI and can make the most significant impact. We've yielded several proposals this year. They include those that were shovel ready and with significant cost savings and greening impacts, and they were funded. They include, for example, a cooling tower treatment and monitoring program that will save 3 million gallons of potable water within a year and have a simple ROI of 1 year. So identifying projects like that in the agency and giving them a leg up, testing them, making sure that we're getting the impacts that we want, and then rolling them out agency-wide.
We appreciate you listening to the overview and this update of the sustainability initiative, and we've allotted enough time for questions that you may have about the individual elements or technologies or where this all goes from here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and thank you for the comprehensive presentation. I think Mr. Giancola had a question.
Yeah, thank you for the briefing. Of course, this provides broad goals and objectives, and hopefully we have specific actions in each of the work centers and generally throughout the system identified. Are they available yet, or is it still being developed? And related to that, you've set goals, but are we going to set up some measures so we can monitor this, say, on an annual basis and get an annual report or something like this? And then the third part of my question is I read somewhere not too many months ago that we did replace, for instance, in some of our parking garages or heading LED lighting, or, you know, putting LED lighting in. Although I did hear from Mr. Troop on a separate question to him that we didn't do that in some of the stations because we had some bad experiences with the LED lights. Can you kind of elaborate on that and whether that's going to be an active program as well?
So a series of three questions.
So starting with the departmental, thank you. Starting with the departmental level projects, really the effort putting together the performance indicators are to integrate into our business planning process, targeting these goals. So in the business planning process, you'll see those goals articulated by department. The second question is...
you kind of answered the second question.
Through this, yeah. So that...
Question had to do with the LED lighting.
So the LED lighting, there was an award of a contract to install LED lighting in the garages, and they're starting the installation just now. And that is performance-based, so that we're sure we will be getting from the vendor the level of lighting that we require, which address the issues that we'd faced many, many years ago when the technology was new. So we're going to be testing every year to be sure that we get the level of lighting that we've contracted to get.
But you're not doing it necessarily in the stations. I heard that there was some problem in the stations and you're going back to the fluorescent tubes rather than the LED lighting. Can you talk about that?
We are using some LED lighting where we can put in twist-in LED lighting, and we know that we can change it out easily if things don't perform, but they have been performing incredibly well.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Some feedback on that.
I think Mr. Belger had a follow-up question on LED. So.
Well, I'd be proposed if you put the LED in the platform edge. How about that? Can we do that?
We are looking at the platform direction.
Mm-hmm. Be a lot brighter, maybe
more noticeable.
Okay.
And then Mr. Downey.
Thank you for the presentation. It's not our day yet. It's coming up very shortly. And useful again to make the point that sustainability is not in conflict with economics. Something we all have to pay attention to. One question I had. Some of the goals that you've identified are regional in nature. When the regional authorities do their forward planning on air quality and other measures, will they take these into account? And will they pay for the improvements that are needed to achieve these? Or are we at least having that dialogue?
I can address the relationship with regional planning. I know that we've had the chance to interface with many of our regional partners in their own environmental or sustainability programs in building these external targets. The guiding principles around the regional goals are actually to support the goals of Region Forward. And so in that respect, what we're doing is we're essentially identifying what we are doing as an entity to support those goals, but there's not yet anything in this document nor in our sustainability agenda which asks our regional stewards to pay for the improvements in order to achieve the environmental goals. Is that fair?
Mr. Downs and then Mrs. Hudgens.
I should probably know the answer to this, but what's the energy efficiency between the 7,000 series cars and the 1,000 series cars?
I don't know off the top of my head.
It seems a significant potential impact. If the power bill of the authority is $125 million a year, 10-year cost is $1.25 billion. And we're talking sustainable investments that affect the bottom line as part of the investment process, and these are investments. We should know that, and it should be part of what you're selling about sustainability going forward. I hope there's, because those 1,000 series cars were not designed to be energy efficient.
Well, the other thing I've heard is regular generation, and as mentioned, on the new side of the service, we have to better use of the
technology.
And not only recirculating it, the electric power, but not heating up in the stations where you then have to air condition.
That's an important comment, because one of the things, again, as Rachel mentioned, there are a variety of pilots which we're able to work with right now, and the initial results coming back from the wayside storage pilot suggest a 24% reduction overall energy, essentially recovery rate, if you will. And if that is, you know, on a per location basis, would yield something like $250,000 in savings per location per year. Now, we have to verify and continue to calibrate that going forward before that becomes something that we feel comfortable making an investment at the agency level. And likewise, I think for some of the new infrastructure that comes in place, the only way to really measure the energy savings is to put it in operation and to recalibrate. But as far as the wayside stores, that's something that is something that we are moving downfield and investigating, and we have some good promising results so far.
And the other is, what's the relationship between the sustainability budget and the capital budget?
Right now, the most direct link is a very small portion of the capital budget. The last year of approval was somewhere around $1 million that is being used to fund these pilot programs in the sustainability lab. So some of the elements that Rachel had mentioned are being tested or coming out of those funds, and the leadership at the organization proposes those ideas, and they have to actually be evaluated against their potential ROI before sustainability agrees to fund them in the pilot stage.
But in addition to that, as was mentioned earlier, in our normal design work for facilities, we're taking in, you know, lead, silver into account for major new facilities. That's built into the standards. It's not something that we just say, oh, we'll do it for this place. It's just part of the design and construction cost.
Ms. Hudgens?
I just wanted to follow up on the platform lighting, and I know you said you'd come back with the answer to that one, but you know, when we started the red lights, we learned something that we didn't know before, and that was the low intensity lighting for people, for those with low intensity vision. It was a challenge, and will we set some sort of priorities on those as a replacement when we get to the answer that we want?
Besides what you mentioned, there's other issues with using red lights, flashing red lights for that type of operation.
Right.
Flashing red lights has a meaning of stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're looking at different colors, so people get more visible to people, everybody. And that's the staff has been looking at. They haven't come up with a final resolution on it.
And that will take in concert the concerns of the AC?
Right.
Okay.
In terms of visibility to all people.
All people. Okay. That was my question. Yeah.
Mr. Nichols, then Mr. Balter, then Mrs. Hines.
Thank you for the presentation. Excellent work. It's very important, very meaningful. I'd like you to go back about to the slide that had the six boxes on it that talked about the... And I wanted to suggest an additional way to demonstrate sustainability through investments we've already made. I mean, this, if I'm not mistaken, and I know I'm not, this is Rhode Island Station, and it's a community where we just had almost 300 new homes that opened up, substantial retail investment there, and this all happened within the past 12 months or so that it opened up, and to be able to, I know we track how much investment we have in our transit-oriented development activities, but the result of this development is and enhanced utilization of the in-place infrastructure. It probably had an uptick in utilization of the transit system there, an uptick of the retail environment, an uptick of our utilization of all our resources, and that should translate into a quantifiable investment that has a huge return on the sustainability of our own infrastructure, along with the spinoff of the economic development. And I think when we have these kinds of presentations, it would be, and I don't say this as a criticism, as an additional component, it would be helpful to evidence the impact of the investment that we've made on just that station alone and the utilization of our system. It would be amplifying data that would for our resources. I know just yesterday we had a groundbreaking in Maryland, the new headquarters of the Department of Housing and Community Development at New Carrollton, and those things are occurring throughout the system. They would be tremendous opportunities to dramatize the sustainable nature of our business and what we're doing. So that I would only ask that to compliment you on what you're doing and ask if you would include that type of a metric in your presentations going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bulger, then Mrs. Hines.
Alvin, that was great. You stole my question, but I had a backup question just in case. No, I agree with you, Paul Hardy. I think it would be really helpful.
The district first, obviously.
Obviously.
Because it's very sustainable.
Yes. The backup question is, could you explain the lab that you've created and who you're partnering with, if at all, and give us some more information about the sustainability laboratory?
Sure. It's not a lab in that we didn't build a new facility and we're not walking around with white coats. It's a virtual lab. we solicit from our departments ideas for doing work that saves the agency money, has environmental benefits, doing work, doing good ideas that are out there, bringing them through, doing the analysis that's required, and then supporting that initial pilot, the procurement for this, for the initial pilot. So in terms of partnering, while I'm sure that there may be some opportunities in the future for that, so far it's really come out of our folks who are really dedicated to this, who are in each one of our departments.
Well, let me just suggest maybe marketing the fact that you have a lab, and there's a lot of creative people here in this metropolitan area, and the city is trying to promote startups, technical startups, and I'll just give you one thing that I've done with our clients, is they go visit Google all the time. They have lunch with Google, and you wouldn't believe what comes out of these experiences. It's beyond my comprehension half the time, and that's not easy, but you may want to reach out to those kind of industries and institutions.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thanks, Marcel. So first of all, thank you for a great presentation. Thank you for taking what was, a very serious interest of the board and turning it into something that we can now monitor and watch. And I loved Alvin's observation. This is such a great picture of what we do all in one place and really could become a cartoon about all the sustainability stuff that we do that would be so understandable, as Lynn was talking about this morning, to anybody of, you know, here's how Metro acts in a sustainable manner. But Sean mentioned Region Forward, and so I'm going to take this opportunity to plug Region Forward, because on April 25th, Region Forward is holding a meeting on sustainability, looking at a variety of ways that the region is responding. Metro's got one set. Rachel, I know Rachel's planning to come, but we're only going to get better together if we're all working on these goals together, and I just, again, want to really commend Metro for taking the goals to heart and trying to figure out how, in the context of our work, we can make a broader conversation. And finally, I would encourage us to think about whether there's a page on sustainability in the budget that basically talks about changes over the last 12 months, so that it just captures it. And you know, there's certainly quantification of energy savings that can then be repurposed, but the main point is to say we think about this holistically. It's not a department, it's a set of ideas. So
thank you. Mr. Giancola.
Yeah, just to follow up to Tom's comment on the outreach and the labs. What an opportunity also to outreach to the local jurisdictions, our own, you know, our own compact members, to kind of form some sort of coalition of people thinking about sustainability and how we can help each other. Because sometimes when you deal with procurements, there may be better vehicles out there that we can piggyback on or other kinds of things. So.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for staff? Tom, thank you so much for this excellent presentation. Are there any other matters to be brought before the committee? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.
We're short today.
We're done.
I didn't quite hear the figure. I thought I heard you say $1.5 billion in energy savings
over 10 years.
10 years.
If the annual cost is $125 million.
Could you send me the source of that information?
Sure, it's the budget.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the percent saving of 7,000.
He said he'd have to send it to
the Senate. Okay, fine. Yeah. All right. Yeah.